Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2546 with a release date of Friday, August 14, 2026 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams respond to a deadly earthquake in Colombia. The FCC charges a sprawling GMRS repeater network with violations and a software update for a space probe that really goes the distance. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2546 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Our top story this week is the deadly earthquake in Colombia, South America. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, gives us a status report on ham radio involvement as Newsline went to production.
The death toll continued to rise past 200 in western Colombia after a 7.4 magnitude earthquake shook towns and cities on Monday, the 10th of August, causing nearly 2,000 buildings to collapse and injuring nearly 3,000 people. It was the strongest earthquake to strike Colombia in 100 years and came only weeks after two earthquakes shattered Venezuela in June. Updates were provided to Newsline by Greg Mossop, Golf Zero DUB, Emergency Communications Coordinator for IARU Region 1, and posted on the Region 1 website. Members of the Colombian Amateur Radio League activated in support of the Colombia Red Cross. Carlos Alberto Santa Maria Gonzalez, Charlie Oscar 2, Juliet Charlie, the IARU's Region 2 Emergency Coordinator, said that Faber Mosquera, KHK6F, the league's emergency coordinator, was coordinating operations with the National Disaster Risk Management System. Faber Mosquera also joined the Urban Search and Rescue Unit of the Colombian Red Cross, which was headed to the city of Cali. IARU Region 2 asked hams to monitor league frequencies on 80, 40, 20, 17 and 15 metres, as well as 2 metres simplex, and to keep those frequencies clear of transmissions. In Risaralda, the radio amateurs from the Coffee Axis Amateur Radio Association, HK6REC, made their repeaters and other resources available to support the hard-hit city of Pureira. Association President Nahir Rios, HK6JSP, was directing his volunteer radio operators to assist where needed. There had been assistance from the LRM, the Liga Radio Mahisalis, HK6RM, as early as Monday evening, following the quake. The group added their EchoLink system to the national frequency to provide more communication resources. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
On the morning of our newscast production, Region 2 reported great progress. The proactive and sustained work by hams throughout the region had already made a difference, providing repeater access to the fire department after the collapse of their digital system. Hams were also restoring power to strategically located club repeaters 3,600 meters above sea level by installing solar panels and batteries. At one site, as work continued on repeaters used by amateurs and various institutions in the Coffee Access region, the public cultural FM radio station, RAC, supplied generator power to support the effort. We will continue to watch this story for other developments. In the U.S., the founder of a wide-reaching network of GMRS repeaters based in Georgia has been charged with violating FCC regulations. We have an update from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The FCC has taken action against the operator of a GMRS repeater network serving Georgia and Tennessee, saying his internet-linked systems violated regulations that ban the simultaneous retransmission of voice messages across numerous repeaters. The founder of the North Georgia GMRS radio network, Gary Beckstead, holds the GMRS license WQYU407. An amateur radio operator with the call sign WB4GMB, he says on his QRZ page that more than half the members of his GMRS network are also licensed hams and that its paid membership is rapidly growing. With more than 30 repeaters in the system, it is the, quote, largest GMRS network in the U.S., end quote, according to the website. FCC rules permit GMRS repeaters to be connected to other networks solely for remote control operation. According to a notice of violation on the FCC website, on February 11th of this year, agents documented the violation, confirming that UHF repeaters' internet connections were being used to carry the same messages to several repeaters for transmission over the air. The notice of violation, released on August 5th, states that such use of many linked repeaters over a wide area is not in the public interest because it monopolizes a limited spectrum resource and increases the potential for interference. The network's website, which promotes an annual membership starting at $90 a year, said that it is encouraging radio growth and education, adding, quote, "We have built a reputation of fostering our membership and guiding them towards the amateur radio community. After all, radio is radio, and it offers so much for those who choose to expand and grow their knowledge of radio communications," end quote. Bechstadt was given 20 days to respond to the FCC. This is Kent Peterson, KC0, DGY.
If the 4 days in May event that precedes Dayton Hamvention wasn't enough for you, get ready for the 4 days in August, which leads right up to the Huntsville Hamfest in Alabama. Andy Morrison, K9 AWM, has those details.
The temperature is a little warmer than it was in Dayton. The venue is a bit farther south, and the format is as informal as it can be, befitting an Alabama state park. 4 days in August is coming back to Monte Sano State Park in Huntsville, opening to RVers, campers, and other visitors who are coming to town a few days before the big Hamfest and ARRL convention. The organizer of 4 days in August, Steve, KM9G, describes on his YouTube channel how the customary informality of the activities is part of its big draw. It's part campout, part POTA, part soda, a little bit of astrophotography, and lots of hands-on building under the guidance of an Elmer or two. Steve said that not every activity will take place under the trees or on a park summit. Trips are also being scheduled to the U.S. Space and Rocketry Center and the planetarium there, as well as the Signals Museum, where the group is hoping to host a soldering class. In short, there will be plenty of amateur radio rabbit holes to disappear down, but be sure to emerge in time for the Huntsville Hamfest, which opens on Saturday, the 22nd of August. To hear Steve give all the details and to learn of any updates, visit his YouTube channel, which is called Temporarily Offline. This is Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
Marmot Set, the satellite launched last month aboard a SpaceX rideshare mission, has received Canada's first official Oscar designation. This comes at an important time as Canada gains a higher profile in the world of satellites. John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us more.
Marmotsat, a CubeSat built by students and researchers at the University of Victoria's Centre for Aerospace Research in British Columbia, was launched in early July. It's now known as Canada OSCAR 128. OSCAR is an acronym for Orbiting Satellite Carrying Amateur Radio. Its mission is to study the ionosphere to gain keeper knowledge of how people's actions affect climate change. It'll take measurements using trans-ionospheric sounding. The OSCAR designation is a significant one. It comes as AMSAT Canada takes its place as an AMSAT affiliate and begins inviting members to help grow the organization. AMSAT Canada was incorporated as a non-profit in late 2023 and is the 28th affiliate of the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. More details can be found on its official website. Find a link in the text version of this week's newscast script at arnewsline.org. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Time for you to identify your station. We're the amateur radio newsline heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W3BN repeater of the Reading Radio Club in Reading, Pennsylvania, on Fridays at 8 p.m. local time. An advisor and mentor to many and a widely respected expert on antennas has become a silent key. We hear more about him from Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Many hams who have wanted to get more out of their antennas, or simply learn more about them, no doubt turn to the words and writings of John Portune, W6NBC. The retired KNBC TV broadcast engineer, an experimenter and innovator, was always generous with his time and wisdom on the subject. John became a silent key on the 6th of July. Born in 1938, he had been a ham since 1965. The Los Angeles, California native was a frequent presence either via Zoom or in person at club meetings, and Ham Expo's needing his expertise on everything from MagLoop antennas to stealth antennas that went undetected by homeowner associations. He was a prolific writer, with bylines in QST and On the Air magazine to his credit. He was also the author of a number of books, including Slot Antennas for Ham Radio, The Forgotten Antenna. Many hams turned to John for his advice on how to get on the air from homes and communities governed by homeowner associations' antenna restrictions. He was also known for hosting informal Monday morning chats on Zoom, open sessions where friends gathered to compare notes and, of course, ask questions. Or, as John wrote on his website, just fun. John was 88. This is Paul, WD9GCO.
The season has been a busy one for public events in southeastern Pennsylvania, and the American Red Cross found itself leaning a little more heavily on assistance from amateur radio operators. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, has those details.
Emergency response and emergency preparedness go hand in hand when it comes to public events, and facing a busy calendar of sports matches, celebrations, and public events throughout the region, Red Cross Southeastern Pennsylvania disaster operators reached out to even more local hams than ever. Members of the Philadelphia Amateur Radio Emergency Service were, of course, there as always, serving as partners in communication, but the Red Cross extended its call for assistance to other Aries groups. According to a recent blog on the American Red Cross website, the call for help cast an even wider net, and hams from the nearby counties of Delaware, Chester, Montgomery, and Bucks answered that call. The Red Cross and the Aries teams gained additional support from the many amateurs who belong to the Red Cross Disaster Services Technology Team, led by Cliff Hotchkiss, KC3PGT. This was especially critical on the 22nd of June, when the FIFA World Cup came to the Philadelphia Stadium, and it was true for the five matches that followed in that host city. Cliff said that there were concerns that the size of the crowd at the stadium could overload and interrupt cellular communication. As the Red Cross noted in its blog, quote, "Their mission was simple but important. Ensure reliable communications remained available if emergency responders and Red Cross teams needed them," end quote. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
In the world of DX, listen for John, W5JON, operating as V47JA, from St. Kitts, IOTA number NA104 on the 24th through to the 31st of August. John will be using SSB and FT8 on various bands. Mike N4XTT will be active as J68TT from St. Lucius, IOTA number NA108 from the 15th through the 21st of August. Operating on 40 through 10 meters, he may also be heard on 80 meters. He plans to operate alongside J69Z at a number of POTUS sites. Henry OH3JR and Ann OH2YL will be on the air as OJ0JR and OJ0YL. Respectively, from Market Reef, IOTA number EU053, from the 15th through the 22nd of August. They will be on 80 meters through 10 meters using CW, SSB, and FT8. Listen for special event station ER35RM celebrating the 35th anniversary of the independence of the Republic of Moldova. Operators are using various modes on the HF bands until the 31st of August. The actual Independence Day is the 27th of August. For QSL information or other operating details for any of these stations, visit QRZ.com. We end this week's newscast by asking, and let's be honest, how often do you update the software on your computer or even your radio? Well, here's a recent update on some instruments that were installed nearly half a century ago. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has our final story.
The upload wasn't simple. The update had to travel 13 billion miles through deep space. When it reached its destination at NASA's Voyager 2, it went to work, deactivating some of the probe's higher-powered scientific instruments and substituting methods that consume less power. NASA said in a statement that conserving power means Voyager 2's instruments can continue operating for another year, if not longer. The probe has been on the job since its launch in 1977. NASA estimates Voyager 2 and its twin Voyager 1 now have about two-thirds of their original reserves of power, which is drawn from radioisotope thermoelectric generators. The software update mission, which NASA calls the Big Bang, isn't quite over yet. Voyager 1 is up next, and it's even farther away from Earth. In fact, in November, it will have traveled the distance of one light day. That means the update will need to travel 16 billion miles, or 26 billion kilometers. And hopefully, it won't need on-site tech support. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT, Canada, AMSAT News, BIL, PY2BIL, Canadian Space Agency, CNN, David Behar, K7DB, FCC, Greg Mossop, G0DUB, IARU Region 1, NASA, National Communications Magazine, Popular Science, QRZ.com, Reuters, Scientific America, shortwaveradio.de, Space News, W6NBC.com, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscasts, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York on our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.